You're listening to The Record on KUOW. I'm David Hyde.
I'm Marcy Silman. The Oxford English Dictionary defines the word sensation as a physical feeling or perception resulting from something that happens to or comes in contact with the body. That includes a broad array of things. Psychologist Thelma Lobel was curious to find out how these physical phenomena affect our behavior, our emotions, even our thoughts. The result of curiosity is her new book, Sensation, The New Science of Physical Intelligence. Many of our listeners have probably heard about how marketing experts use color or music, even aroma, to influence our buying habits. I wanted to know something more basic from Lobel, how colors can influence our emotions.
Well, red has associations actually both with danger and stop, you know, the stop signs, all that. And on the other hand, the other way, it influences sexual attraction. In some studies, men were shown a photo of a woman, and there were several groups of men. All were shown the same exact photo of the same exact woman. Only one difference, the color of the background. One group saw the photo against a red background, while the other saw against other colors, gray or white or green. You know, there were several studies, and each time they compared it to another color. And then they were asked questions about that woman and how attractive she is, how sexy she is, whether they would like to date her, and even in one experiment, how much money they would spend on her on a date. And in all these studies, men who saw the woman against the red background perceived her as more attractive, more sexier, wanted to date her more often, and even spend more money on her than those who saw the same exact photo against another color. But what was interesting was that when they were asked what made them think that she was attractive, they thought the least was the influence of the color of the background. They thought about maybe the hair, the smile, all kind of other things. So without being aware to that, they really perceived her as more attractive.
I think that this is fascinating because so much of what you outline in this book are things that go back even to at least the English language. I'm not sure about Hebrew and other languages, but you write a lot about metaphors. These are things that we've known about, but only just now psychologists are starting to test. Is that true?
It's true. You know, in 1989, Lakoff and Johnson, two researchers, wrote a book about the influence of metaphors on our life, but they did not do the experiments. They just wrote it theoretically. And only in the last 10 years, and mainly in the last 6 years, I could say, these studies, which are called on embodied cognition and metaphors, show again and again that metaphors are more than just figure of speech, but they really are part of the process of understanding more abstract things. And when you say about somebody who is a warm person, you didn't just choose by chance, you know, the metaphor warm person rather than any other concrete concept.
I'm speaking with psychologist Thelma Lobel, and we're talking about our senses. She's written a new book called Sensation, The New Science of Physical Intelligence. I'm glad you mentioned warm-hearted, because I think of all the senses that you talk about and their influence on our emotion and subconscious, it's temperature that most fascinated me. Can you talk a little bit about those experiments about holding something warm as opposed to holding something cool in your hands and how that influenced people?
Sure. And actually, it fascinated me also. I mean, I started with that when I read this particular experiment. The first experiment was conducted in Yale University by Williams and Barge. And in that experiment, they invited the participants to come to the lab. And when each one came, an experimenter accompanied that person in the elevator to the fourth floor to start the experiment. What they didn't know, the participants, is that the experiment actually started in the elevator, where the experimenter gave them and asked them to hold her cup of coffee for a few seconds while she was writing their name. Now, for half of the subjects, she gave a hot cup of coffee, while to the other half, she gave an iced coffee, a cold cup of coffee. Then they came to the lab, and they were asked to judge a person on various characteristics, an anonymous person they didn't know before. And the amazing thing was that those who touched or were holding a warm cup of coffee in the elevator judged that person as warmer, in other words, nicer, yeah, friendlier, than those who held a cold cup of coffee. So that was the first experiment. Then they wanted to see if this affects also our behavior, not only our judgments. So what they did, they told other subjects that they were participating in a marketing study, and they asked them to hold a therapeutic pad, and they were asked several questions about that pad. Half of the subjects were holding a warm therapeutic pad, and the other half were holding a cold therapeutic pad. Then they were thanked, and the experimenter said, you know, I want to thank you for participating in the study, and you can choose between either a gift for yourself or gift for a friend. Those who held a warm therapeutic pad more often chose a gift for a friend than those who held a cold therapeutic pad. In other words, they were more generous.
They were more warm-hearted.
More warm-hearted, exactly. Warm-hearted, and they judge other people as warm. And, you know, this can influence our interactions in an amazing way, because once you judge the other person as a nicer person, and once you behave as a warm-hearted person, the whole interaction changes.
Does the research that you've looked at transcend nationalities, cultures, genders, ages?
That's a very good question, and I call that the second generation of studies. Most studies that I cite in the book were done either in the United States, some in Israel, in my laboratory, and some in other places. But, you know, in England, and there was in Hong Kong one, but the vast majority in the United States. I think the conclusions should be limited to the Western society for that. You know, although, as you ask, for example, if I compare metaphors in English and in Hebrew, most of them are the same.
Really?
I can tell you that. Yeah. And, you know, and I checked that. So I have no problems in that. But there are some, you know, that are different in other cultures. Some colors have different meanings in other cultures. So, of course, we have to do so. What I say is that the second generation should examine different cultures, different ages, individual differences. For example, maybe there are some people who are more sensitive to physical sensations than others, and we should examine which characteristics, which personality characteristics, are mediating these, you know, influences, amazing influences. Also, as you say, genders, all kinds of things that I think I call them mediating factors that might change the influence. For example, the influence of temperature can be different if you are conducting the study in a very warm day or in the winter, and that was not done yet. So there are many things that should be done, but at the moment we still see that the influence is a lot.
Normally, most of us aren't aware of these sorts of influences. I mean, we might notice something smells good or somebody looks good, and we just sort of generally say, oh, nice or bad. Do you think, as a researcher, as a psychologist, that this is something that we should be more aware of?
Definitely. I think one of the goals of when I wrote the book was that I wanted the general audience not only to read about these interesting studies, that are really interesting just to read, but to learn and to be aware how the physical sensations influence our decisions, our thoughts, our emotions. Once you are aware, I don't say that they will not influence at all, but they will influence you less. You will be less manipulated. You will always ask yourself, when you judge somebody as a warm-hearted or as a powerful person, whether it's because that person was tall, or whether you were holding something warm, or, you know, you saw something red and that's why you judge that person as sexier. You can be less manipulated. You're more aware of that. And on the other hand, you can use these things to influence the interactions and negotiations with others by giving them to hold, for example, something soft, which will make them softer, or something warm, which will make them warmer, etc.
I'm all set to manipulate everybody around me with these colors. Well, Thelma, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for inviting me. I enjoyed it.
Thelma Lobel's book is called Sensation, The New Science of Physical Intelligence.